And now, my friends, on TalkSport and on Talk, we are looking to the future. And not just a fine football club's future, but of a remarkable city's future. The city is Liverpool, the club is Everton, and the future is their magnificent-looking new stadium, Bramley Moor Dock. Yep, from next season, football fans will have to say goodbye to Goodison Park. I think the toughest have been 133 years. And hello to the new home of Everton FC, a home with a history of and heritage brilliantly explored in a fascinating new book. His third, I believe, it's the first one I've read, by Bob Waterhouse. It's published by Pitch, and its title is factual and sounds maybe low-key even. Bramley Moor Dock. But the subtitle is anything but low-key. It says, Bramley Moor Dock, from slavery to football at the new home of Everton FC. And I'm delighted to say Bob Waterhouse, author of that fine book published by Pitch, joins us now. Good morning, Bob. Congratulations on an amazing read. I mean, it really is a kind of kaleidoscopic history of that era of Liverpool, Liverpool itself, and Britain's links with the slave trade. Can we start, though, by you telling us about the man after whom the dock was named, John Bramley Moore himself? What kind of bloke was he?
Hi, Paul. John Bramley Moore was a career politician in the end, but he made his fortune in the Brazilian slave trade. He was both a trader and a plantation owner. And even though slavery had been abolished since the beginning of the 19th century, it was still legal in Brazil until late in the 19th century. So
I think I'm right in saying Brazil, in the end, imported more, bought more human beings, 10 times more, I believe, than even North America.
Yeah, it slips under our radar a lot because obviously, you know, we've got close relations with North America. Yeah. But as you say, it's on a much bigger scale.
And was he, I mean, he must have been on the receiving end of a huge amount of criticism, was he? Because while you're right, what he was doing was legal. I mean, the drive against the international slave trade came from this country, and it was a huge political issue.
He did receive a certain amount of flak, but he was very clever to deny all links, and he just slipped under the radar. One of his ships was actually arrested by the British in mid-Atlantic, and he still seems to have escaped all linkage with the trade.
Okay, and then flash forward a few years, of course, and the, you know, the docks are no longer required in the way they were. Albert Docks became, and still is, a kind of big media centre where this morning originally came from. And what's been the recent fate or the recent situation with Bramley Moor? Because I remember it being drained and the kind of landfilled. Yeah. What kind of state was it in there? I mean, it must have been in a state of decline for decades, was it?
Yeah, I mean, it was open dockland. It was full of water, but it hadn't being used as a dock for the best part of 50 years. And that whole part of Liverpool was just, you know, a typical sort of declining in the city. And, you know, nothing had been taking place there for a long time. So the new stadium is part of a regeneration scheme for North Liverpool, because that part of the city really haven't enjoyed the benefits that, let's say, the Albert Dock and the Garden Festival gave to the city in the 80s. And it's in severe need of regeneration. I'm really hopeful that this amazing new stadium is going to do the trick.
Have you been round it yet? We talked about the open night that they had, and I think they played a demonstration exhibition game in front. Have you been round it yet yourself, Bob?
No. In fact, I don't know if you realise this, Paul, but the second test event happened this afternoon, so it's perfect timing, really, and 25,000 fans were allowed in.
They're still keeping you out, Bob, are they?
Well, I live in the southwest of England, in Dorset, so it's a bit of a hike. I am a season ticket holder, and, you know, that is quite a commitment, but I do aim to be there for the final test event, which will be a full house.
Now, I wanted to ask you this, perhaps more with the book is very rich in history, but it's very eminently readable. I read it pretty much at a single sitting, folks. It's called Bramley Moor Dock, From Slavery to Football at the New Home of Everton FC, published by Pitch. And as somebody who in the teacher history, government, politics, there's been interesting moves about acknowledging our slave past, and Liverpool's slave past in particular, because for a while there's been this movement, you kind of don't have anything named after the people involved in it. You expunge their names. I think the Blue Coat Grammar School did that with some of its house names, did it back in a while ago. But then there's also them who said, no, we have to acknowledge it. If you don't learn from the past, you might repeat it. And they, for, I think, Albert Docks at the Maritime Museum, they've got a whole section acknowledging the slave trade past. Is that why the name hasn't been changed, why Bramley Moor Dock is still called after this hideous-sounding geezer?
Well, it's actually already been name changed because it's now officially the Everton Stadium, which is a very bland description, but I think...
They're waiting for sponsorship, aren't they? I'd imagine that they're going to be something else eventually.
Yeah, I mean, this guy Friedkin, I don't know how much you know about him, but he is the biggest Toyota dealer in the States, so I guess that is the favourite at the moment.
And the book also brilliantly outlines some of the, I mean, you know, trials and tribulations, not to put it too mildly, that Everton's been through, particularly with regard to getting a new stadium, because, I mean, there's been a rocky old road to arrive at Bramley Moor Dock, has it not?
Well, yeah, it's taken place over a 20-year period, and in the 90s, we missed a brilliant opportunity to build a stadium at the King's Dock, which is right next to the pierhead, more or less in the centre of the
city. Was that going to be the stadium that had the retractable roof? Was it that one, that project?
Yes, I think that was one of the ideas. But that has actually become what is now the M&S Arena, where the Eurovision Song Contest recently took place. So we missed that opportunity. Then there was a much more controversial idea to move out of the city at Kirby, which led to a huge fan backlash, and that was dropped. And eventually they settled on the Bramley Moor Dock, and there was a massive consultation exercise. And I've got to say, this time the club got it completely right. And, you know, we've got the product of that, which has taken about a 4-year period to build. And it's going to be up in place for the next season.
And thankfully, thanks to West Ham's David Moyes, you probably won't be starting life at your new stadium in the Championship, will you?
No. Thanks very much for that, Paul. You know, it was a toss-up between Potter and Moyes at one time. And I think we've got...
I think we've both done all right, but you've certainly done brilliantly. I mean, I was as a West Ham fan, I was sorry to see him go, I must say. I tell you what did surprise me about the book, or the chapter that surprised me, was the fact that 4 years ago, I think it was now, back in 2021, Liverpool lost its UNESCO World Heritage status. Yeah. In part, at least, without overstating, in part, at least, because of the development of this new stadium. What was going on there, Bob?
Well, you know, I think UNESCO want to have the Liverpool dockfront just maintained as it was 20 years ago. And I think, really, they've been a bit harsh on this. Because
that's all right if you discover a decaying city in the middle of the Amazon jungle. Leave it as it is. Not if you've got a throbbing, vibrant city with a huge future in front of it, like Liverpool. You can't say, let's freeze it in Aspic and leave it the way it is. That's simply ridiculous.
No, and we've got a brilliant architect for this stadium, an American guy called Dan Mice, who was at the game this afternoon, and he's done his utmost to maintain the architecture in sympathy with the warehouses, the brick-built warehouses of the Docklands.
And also, there'll be, I mean, as you say in the book, you know, we can't predict the financial future. We're talking about the future, but we know, for example, from the example of the new Wembley Stadium, the boost that has on local businesses, obviously, but even things like local property price. I mean, there's one expert you quote in the book saying they could, around Wembley Stadium, they've gone up by as much as 15% more than elsewhere in London.
Yeah, and I've got to say, it'd be fantastic if this happens at the new Everton Stadium, because it's situated in one of the most deprived parts, not only of the UK, but of Western Europe. So it would be fantastic if it has that effect.
Now, it's a brilliantly written book, folks. It's called Bramley Moor Dock, From Slavery to Football at the New Home of Everton FC. It charts some of the problems facing the modern game financially. It's got a great history, part of the history of Everton's place in history, not just about the slave trade, but a lot more besides, and some wonderful photographs, including a chap who obviously enjoyed from the look of a rich lunch, John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace. That rather fine him, did he not?
Yeah, he's an interesting character, actually, because He was a crew member of a slave ship, and I think in his early days took part in fairly brutal behaviour to the slaves. But he converted to Christianity whilst he was in Liverpool, and became one of a number of Liverpool's anti-slavers who played the crucial part in the abolition.
Okay, so new stadium, same club, but obviously with an eye to the future. This season, I suppose, it's survival that's the main thing. I mean, you know, you're unlikely to get a European place without being unkind, a bit like West Ham. But what would be next season? I mean, surely next season you've got to be pushing for at the very least top half of the table in European action, Everton.
Well, I've got to say, our expectations in recent years have been incredibly low. But, you know, I'd be happy if Moyes can get us certainly in the top half of the table, challenging for European places. And, you know, 20 years ago, Moyes had a pretty good track record of getting the club into Europe. And if he can recreate that, that would be a tremendous start.
Also, I think it's wonderful in some ways. I mean, I know football writes its own scripts, but the fact that it's David Moyes taking you to the new stadium, while there have been plenty of other people who've got a huge part of the fabric of Everton Football Club, the fact it's him, I think, has also got a certain kind of pleasing circularity.
Yeah, I mean, he, despite leaving the club for Man U, which made him unpopular at the time...
He couldn't have said no to Man U, really, could he?
Well,
I mean,
but I think, you know, if you look at retrospect, I mean, writing these books, particularly my second one, which is about the decline of the club over the last 60 years, despite the brief period of success in the mid-80s, really the Moyes era looks, in retrospect, you know, almost like a mini golden age.
Yeah. Yeah, and let me ask you, I mean, you did tell me the title offer of the previous book. It's also published by Pitch. Tell us, what's that book, if we can get hold of it from Pitch?
But all of my books are available on Amazon. But it's Liverpool Football Club Ruined My Life, which is sort of borrowed from a brilliant book in the 90s called Manchester United Ruined My Life by a guy called Colin Schindler, who gave me his personal permission to sort of blag his title with my club.
Well, I'm going to be getting a copy of that after the show, because if it's anywhere near as good as this book, Bob, it'd be an immensely readable book. This is a must-have, folks, whether or not you're an Everton fan, if you're a football fan. Bob Waterhouse's book, Bramley Moore Dock, From Slavery to Football at the New Home of Everton FC, published by Pitch, and you heard about that right here with me, Paul Ross, and with our mate Bob on TalkSport and Talk, where we're live till 5:00.